Tonight we turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13. In this chapter we want to start reading at verse 11, reading through verse 18. And I'll highlight in advance that our Lord's text comes from verses 16 and 17 tonight. So Revelation 13, we begin reading at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image of the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. So our text tonight comes from verses 16 and 17. Regarding this beast, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. If a young couple goes up to the hospital, all filled with hope and anticipation, and at the hospital, the young mom gives birth to a little baby, then you know that those parents are going to love that baby no matter what. If, however, within 30 seconds of birth, the doctors, the nurses, and then dad and mom also see that this baby has one humongous blue, red, and black birthmark in the middle of the forehead, then you know those parents, if they're good Christian parents, are going to love that baby anyway. You know that they're not going to diminish their love one iota. You know that they're going to provide for that baby, and out of their love for that child, as that child grows, they will try their absolute best before that child is of school age to sit down with a plastic surgeon and to see what can be done regarding removing that birthmark, even if it requires transporting other skin from some other spot to put in that place. No loving parent would want to bear a child to bear that burden all the way through life. As you know, I know, children in school can be cruel. So Jesus, our Lord, came into the world, and as he came into the world, it was pronounced even in advance of his birth, as the angel said to Joseph, "You shall name him Jesus, for He shall deliver his people from their sins. Before Jesus was conceived, before Jesus was born, before Jesus came into the world, he already had the sentence of the birthmark of your sin and my iniquity upon his life. Not merely upon the skin of his forehead, but attached to his soul. And there was only one way possible for the Lord to deal with that sin of yours and that iniquity of mine. And that was by doing surgery for the whole human race. As he went through the pain and the torture, after a perfect life of 33 and a half years, hanging on the cross and paying the price. A day once came early in the history of the nation, early in the history of the world, that Grandpa and Grandma, Adam and Eve, were grief-stricken. I cannot fathom what those parents went through as they witnessed the first funeral on planet Earth, as they stood by the grave of son Abel, as they looked down at that grave and realized that the sin that had started so innocently but deliberately had gone to seed. And as Adam and Eve stood there trying to absorb the grief of what happened with their older son murdering their younger son, they had also that day lost two sons because God had sent son Cain into exile. However, when son Cain went into exile, he did not walk out unscathed. Instead, God, in his mercy to Cain, gave him a mark so ugly, or a mark so startling, a mark so dramatic, that no beast or man would want to kill Cain. What could have been a mark that dramatic? Like a flaming red sword of divine nature? Or like a lightning stroke across the forehead? So that anyone, beast or man, that would come upon Cain would instantly recognize this man was under divine protection, and anyone who would lay a hand on Cain would be punished sevenfold. So was the mark of Cain. When Jesus walked on the soil of planet Earth, he walked with the mark of your sin and my iniquity, and he had to carry that sin and that iniquity to its final conclusion. But tonight, in this passage, the Bible is talking about the mark of the beast. And you probably sense as we read this chapter, or the second half of this chapter, that this chapter is like a few others in the entire scripture. This chapter has a character all of its own, and consequently our meditation on it tonight has a total different character as well. What is this mark of the beast? Follow it through, would you? Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Doesn't take much thinking to figure that one out, does it? He had two little horns like a lamb. And he spoke with the voice of a dragon. And with no explanation at all, you know exactly who that is. Verse 13. He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Men shuddered in their boots. Verse 14. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the first beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Verse 15. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image itself seems to come alive, so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. So this great beast, the Antichrist, forces everyone to fall in step. And if you do not fall in step with his wishes, he causes all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. Verse 16. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Look at the sweep of this. If you choose not to fall down to the image of the beast and the Antichrist in that day, the penalty is death. If you do bow down to the image of the beast, the result is just a mark on the hand or the forehead. Who would not capitulate to that demand? Just a mark on the hand or the forehead to be able to stay alive and to be able to eat? Who would not say, sign me up? I want to stay alive. But look what he does. He forces everyone, small and great, the ordinary people, the common people, the down-to-earth people, the nobodies on planet Earth, and the great, the senators, the representatives, the cabinet czars, the presidents, the prime ministers, the movers and shakers on planet Earth, the rich and the poor, the business tycoons that own a whole street in New York, or a whole section of Wall Street, and the poor, the beggars that are eating out of the garbage cans, the ones who live in the slums, the free and slave. Yes, in this modern world, we've got lots of free people, but let's be honest, we've got lots of slaves too. There are places on planet Earth today where slavery is openly practiced, including Southeast Asia and Africa and Arab countries. And he causes all of them to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. You think of that. It's logical how ranchers out west use this thing called branding. I understand that west of the Missouri River, it is mandatory to cut down on cattle rustling. More and more that custom is spreading eastward because it, same reason, cuts down on cattle rustling. It makes sense that they would do it, but what is this great beast require? That those who bow down to the image and those who fall in line are to receive this mark on the hand or on the forehead. Does that strike you as so problematic? I know that my mother-in-law has been so scarred by the experiences she went through in Rotterdam during the bombing of Rotterdam in World War II when she was a nurse there, one of the hospitals downtown. I know she is so scarred from that, she'll never outlive that. And I know that also, as her dad was involved in some things during the wars that she didn't know about, the rest of the family didn't know about it, it was only after the war that they finally realized that he was involved in the Dutch underground, and how many hundreds and hundreds of Jews had been spared from the gas chambers and the like because of the work of those who toiled in the underground. And every country had an underground, including Germany. And when you go to a Holocaust museum like you see over there in the northeast corner of Detroit and see those tattoos in the neck, on the hand, let's be honest. If you and I had to walk in those prison camps, as many Christians also in those European countries were forced to do so, you and I would easily take a tattoo in the neck or on the hand if it means life or death. Oh, but wait a minute. That was a war. This is something else. This is the mark of the beast. Going back also to World War II, there were few important people on the world stage history. Emperor of Japan, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Churchill, De Gaulle, Roosevelt. But at the end of time, there will only be two important ones on the stage of world history. And those two will be the beast and Jesus, the Antichrist and the Christ. No one else will compete. Those will be tops. And the battle of a spiritual nature will be between those two. And according to all evidence, if you're taking polls, as the Gallup polls take polls, according to all evidence, it will be the Antichrist that will be winning. According to all evidence, even in Scripture, it'll be the Christ that will appear to be losing. And even the elect will be lost unless God shortened the timeline and brought it to a premature end. But now, looking at this world stage, please note that there are a number of factors that bring this world scenario of this final clash between the Antichrist and the Christ closer than ever. May I enumerate? I see five factors that play into this, that tell us that the world stage is almost set. One, mass communication. During World War II, how long would it take for a telegraph wire to get from Ukraine to New York? 20 years ago, how long would it take to get a news report out of Vietnam to United States stations? Now you have world communication because we have all of these world satellites, and one man now operating under the authority of the Antichrist can control the world and rule the world, because giving one command within 20 seconds, that command can be transported to any part on planet Earth. You're in a new generation. Do not let your children forget it. B, or two, world government. Ever since the initiation of UN, even before that, after World War I, they were trying to push for world government, but the push is greater than ever now. And look at the weakest countries on planet Earth. They're pleading for world government the most. Western Europe now, almost powerless against the terrorists that come against them. They capitulate in the elections. And they're crying, disarmament, peace, 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 because they've got no alternative. Yes, it is true. There has been a balance of power floating up and down, back and forth, United States, Russia, China, world scene. Yes, it is true that the oil producers don't quite have their monopoly under control, and the oil absorbers or users are not quite at their mercy yet, but we're pushing toward world government, and you know it. 3, world banking. The push started in 1973 with the establishment of the Trilateral Commission. 80 nations originally signed up for it. The push is now greater than ever. Have you heard what you heard in the course of the past 6 months and the international news broadcasts, how they're pushing for world finance banking so that the Japanese yen and the European euro and the American dollar and the English pound and the Russian ruble can all flow into one system? We're almost there, folks. 3, 4. World tracking system of goods. It's astounding. You don't want to marvel at what the world does because you want to marvel at what the Word of God does. And it's a marvel the Word of God explains so much of this in advance. But consider, when I was a little boy going into the grocery store alongside of my mom, like a little junior, what would the grocery man do? After we laid our items on the counter, he would take out a pen and paper and calculate it. And you get into a big store like a Penny's or a Sears or a Montgomery Ward. In those olden days, yeah. And they had this cash register. And all the numbers across. What, about 100 little levers in there? And the little numbers would jump up for the screen. Oh, one side showing the cashier and the other side showing the customer. And then advance to the last. Why? Those belts that came through the grocery stores. And now the scanning system. The scanning system with those little barcodes is so perfected. It is in such immaculate shape that they can take a little item untouched by human hands, produced somewhere in China, ship it all across the world, and it can land in your home, and the thing has not even been touched. The barcode has slapped all of the things with its hands. There it ends up in your home, and you unwrap it for the first time out of its plastic package, and it's been untouched by human hands. So you've got world communication, world government, world banking, world tracking system, and a world numbering system for people. Let me turn the clock back again. Somewhere in my junior year of high school, and I got my first real paycheck, I had to stop at the county courthouse in Fond du Lac and sign up for a social security number. Seemed innocent enough, right? At what age does a little baby have to have a social security number now? Do they have to have it before they're out of the hospital? Yes. So the tracking system and the number system is so incredibly up to date, and some companies and corporations of the high-tech nature are not waiting for the social security number. They simply engrave an invisible tattoo on the skin of the hand so that any worker, I don't know if any of you, I don't even dare for a show of hands there. Any worker in those high-tech places, all she has to do is put the hand under the scanner, and they've got total access to the secrets of the inside of the company. You know what the Antichrist designs to do with that. Please know that the Antichrist is not anti-religion. I repeat that. The Antichrist in his day will not be or if he is already living on planet Earth. He is not anti-religion. He's only anti-Christian. Think through. The scribes, the Pharisees, Caiaphas, the high priest, Pilate, Herod, Nero, the Romans, they were not anti-religion. They supported the religions of the pagan gods. They supported the religion of the Greeks. They supported even the religion of the Jews. The Jews didn't have much persecution from the Romans. It was the Christians. Why? Because the Christians said Christ was the only way. What does all of this add up to? All of this adds up to is do not panic. The Lord is not saying, go burn your Social Security card. The Lord is not saying, okay, go live in the North Woods, raise a 3.5-acre garden, and lock yourself down, work only with a barter system. The Lord is not saying the devil will win. The Lord is saying he is still in control and he is Savior. If he went all the way to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins on the doorstep of hell, he can complete the job and he will provide for you even if someday you find yourself unable to buy or sell, even if someday you are collecting your supper out of some dumpster or some garbage can. Because as a Christian, you are not permitted, according to the barcode on your hand, or lack thereof, to purchase, buy, and sell. There is a mark of Christ, you know. Yes, he will provide. He will provide for you to eat. He will not let you stay stranded, even in the modern world. Even when all of these things are happening all around you. And it grieves me to say it, but it seems as though 95% of the Christians in America are asleep at the switch. The Lord is caring. And he's giving you a mark too, right? Got your Bibles open? Flip over to Ezekiel chapter 9. I love that chapter. Ezekiel chapter 9. There the Lord gives the command to clean out. Sounds like it's an analogy of Judgment Day. To clean out in the final day. And then there's an angel, verse 2, with a writing kit at his side. And the rest of the angels stand ready to administer justice and judgment upon those that don't belong to the Lord. And verse 4, the Lord says to the angel, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. So the angel with the ink horn is supposed to, he's supposed to go throughout Jerusalem in advance, putting a mark on all of those that are elect children of God. Christians, don't shy away from that word elect. It's in Scripture. So he is in advance of judgment to take his ink pen, and put ink on a mark on all of those that are elect children of God. And when he gets done with his entire assignment, read the rest of Ezekiel 9, then the angels of judgment come in and they clean up all the rest. Because ultimately, there's only that sorting at the end between the children of God and the children of the evil one. So if you are a child of the Lord, then you are his possession. And then he marks you. How do you know if you're marked? So if that barcode underneath the hand is invisible, and if the water of baptism placed upon your forehead evaporates before the service is over, how do you know if you're marked? That's simple. Read your Bible. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Read your Bible. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Read your Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall have everlasting life. Shall have everlasting life. Read your Bible. It's all right there. So if you belong to the Lord by faith, you belong to him and you've received his mark. So that day, when poor Adam and Eve are just grief-stricken beyond words, Cain walks out of the garden to the land east of Eden and beyond east of Eden as a fugitive, a hot-tempered, arrogant young man, and he carries a mark. But the Christ, as he goes to the cross of Calvary, also picks up his mark. Those marks that he picked up on the cross were only the result of the marks he carried attached to his soul by your sin and mine. And the Christian. The Christian also gets a mark? Yes, of course. Catch that if you've got a concordance at home. The concept of the mark of Christ shows up in the book of Revelation 7 times. 7 times it shows up in the book of Revelation. It's amazing. I have to confess. 6 times. 6 times. Correction. I have to confess. At this age of my life, I am astounded at what I don't know yet. That mark of Christ shows up in the book of Revelation 6 times. Of which the last one is the most beautiful to my way of thinking. Revelation chapter 22. When you have lived your life, when you have breathed your last breath, when you are exited from planet Earth, when you are brought into the presence of God, when you bow down before the great white throne, when you see the river of the water of life flowing down from the throne and down the middle of the street of the city, when then you as a child of God can walk in heaven on those beautiful shores, then yet you will carry your mark. Because Christ paid for his children with his own blood. And he signed their adoption papers with his own blood. And when that day comes and you stand beside that river of the water of life, clear as crystal, and you look down beyond your toes into the surface of that beautiful, clear as crystal water, and you see your reflection reflected back up to you, regarding your face reflected to you, then you will see Revelation 22, verse 4, his name written on your forehead. To be possessed by Christ is to be totally secure. Therefore, totally trust no matter what. Thank you, O Lord, for your word. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its eternal character. Open our eyes that we might even be able to read the signs of the times, like we read the clouds of the heavens. And then, Lord, help us to be faithful in things big or small, and help us to serve you until we too walk on the streets of gold or stroll by the river that flows out from your throne with your name written on each of our foreheads. In that day, our gratitude will be endless. In this day, our gratitude
is beyond words. In Christ's name, amen.